south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Okay, today I'd like to start off by addressing an email from a listener named Barbara. Hi, Barb. Now, it might seem like she's asking a very simple question, but believe me, it's quite complex, and as you'll see, if you're on the fence or haven't got that plan B going by now, man, this surely will push you over the edge. Now, normally if you're in mixed company and this question comes up, many good people and humanitarian types will spit out the obvious simplistic answer. But believe me, there's nothing simple about it, especially if you haven't had any real boots on the ground in Latin America. So here goes. And I'll paraphrase this. He says, "Dear Johnny, I was unaware of this. Please click the link below. There's an article you should see." Then she says, "Johnny, can you tell me why Latin Americans, specifically Central Americans, are fleeing their countries in such great numbers? Is it economic, violence, or what?" Okay, let me read a bit from the article. It's from a media website called Telesur, T-E-L-E-S-U-R. And the title of the article is "Australia to Accept More Central American Refugees." Say what? I'll bet you didn't even know Australia was a place they relocated Central American refugees. Hell, till I read this article, I didn't know myself. Man, the stupidity of it all. Now, this article is less about Central Americans being relocated to Australia, which in itself is mighty weird. Which makes you wonder how thousands of uneducated, non-English-speaking Latin Americans will do in the land of wallabies, barbies, sheilas, and didgeridoos. Anyway, the article goes on to say, "While moving thousands of Central American refugees to Australia is seen as a step in the right direction, Australia still has a questionable human rights record when it comes to refugees." Okay, it's me, Johnny, again. Just thinking out loud here. I wonder, do Latin Americans that sneak into the U.S. know that they just might be relocated to Australia? How about that? You sneak into the States, thinking you'll find a safe house and some friends at Uncle Tulio's in Tucson or Miami. However, if you're picked up by immigration and get refugee status, you just might end up with a 14-hour plane ride to Australia. The next thing you know, you're on the tarmac facing a pack of kangaroos. By the way, in Australia, not one in 10,000 people speak Spanish. And definitely no Latin neighborhoods, suburbs, or Latin quarters to hang out in. No place at all like Nueva York, Chicago, or Miami where you could spend the rest of your life and never speak a word of English. In other words, if you're a Latin refugee relocated to Australia, horror of horrors, you'll actually have to learn English to survive. Well, the Australian version of English anyway. Now imagine a Latin person speaking English with an Australian accent. Now, there's a YouTube video for you. By the way, I've been down in Latin America more than a quarter century now, and I've met thousands of Latins, but never one who'd ever been to Australia. And the ones whose faces lit up when I mentioned Australia, until I clued them in, thought I was talking about Austria. Anyway, the article goes on to say, "Australia's annual intake of Central American refugees is expected to climb to 19,000 over the next 2 years. It's part of a UN General Assembly plan led by the U.S. Who else? Wonder how the common Australian man is feeling about that. All right, just a little aside here. I do run into the occasional Australian down here in Latin America. Most of them low-budget backpackers who just love it down here, and some stay on for good. Like a good friend I did some radio stuff with down here. We called him Captain Kangaroo. What else? And yesterday, after reading this article, I phoned up one of my Australian friends who has a little business down here. He said, "Man, Johnny," actually he said, "Crikey, I lived in Melbourne all my life. It's a big city and they've got about 5 Mexican restaurants, but they ain't any more Mexican than Taco Bell." He said, "They're all staffed by Asians." Then he admitted that after living 25 years of his life in Australia, he never met a Latin American, ever. So why'd he come to Latin America? Well, like a lot of Australians, he did the backpacker thing for a couple of months back in the 90s. Saw Latin America, loved it, and found it ridiculously easy to start a business down here. By the way, he's in the whitewater rafting and tourism thing. Oh, and you might find this interesting. He said If you think Latins transplanted to Australia are going to find typical grunt work and off-the-books jobs, just like they do up in the States, drywalling, gardening, maids, and all that, he said, forget about it. The Indonesians and the Aborigines have all the minimum wage and gray market jobs all locked up. Anyway, back to the article. Then it says, after that bit about accepting 19,000 refugees from Central America over the next 2 years, there's more. We will also participate in a U.S.-led program to resettle Latin American refugees who are currently in a resettlement center in Costa Rica. Wait a minute, a refugee detention center in Costa Rica? You didn't know that either, did you? Which begs the question, how'd they get there when Costa Rica is south and the flow of Central American illegal migration is north up to the U.S.? How'd that happen? Anyway, Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull, speaking at the Leaders' Summit on Refugees at the UN General Assembly, praised the move his country has made to absorb the refugees. Then it says, in July, the U.S. also announced its own plan to increase refugee intake from Central America amid the ongoing violence in the Northern Triangle comprised of Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. And here's something else I don't get. Well, actually, I do. It sounds crazy, but, you know, this is government. It says here, as many as 200 refugees at a time will be hosted by Costa Rica. What? Hosted like throwing a bash, a party, or a ball for them? Now, I could read on, but it's all just a bunch of government twaddle from people who never worked a day in an honest, real job in their lives. By the way, there's a statement from a human rights activist that says Australia itself is a bad place for refugees, that they have a history of violently abusing people in detention camps, and even says that there are leaked documents detailing more than 2,000 incidents of violence and abuse at a certain government detention center on an island called Manus. Hey, if that's the case, I have an idea. Why don't we just hand them over to a benevolent Middle Eastern country like Saudi Arabia, where they maintain law and order by simply lopping off a few heads a week in the public square? So anyway, I and a lot of people can understand why people reading articles like this will ask that seemingly simple but complicated question, why in the hell are all those Latin Americans, specifically Central Americans, fleeing their countries for the U.S.? Why are those Latins leaving? Is it economic, violence, or what? Well, let's start out first with the topic of economics. You know, the people that leave everything, their home, their families, their culture, well, not really. They haul their culture and their language along with them, which is one of the big problems, but I digress as usual. Anyway, they have nothing and they've got absolutely nothing to lose. Now, if you've been down here to Latin America and you've meandered around any of the medium or large sized cities, you'll see that about 20 to 30% of those places are absolute disgusting slums. By the way, in Brazil, they're called favelas. In the rest of Latin America, asentamientos. That's asentamientos. They're chaotic neighborhoods of squatters that took root decades ago on very crappy, pretty much useless land. That's where the uneducated masses flowing in from the boonies looking for work squatted since they had no money or resources and nowhere else to go. So throughout Latin America, not just Central America, you've got 20 to 30% of the city areas anyway that are, to put it kindly, absolutely disgusting and you and I would never want to live there. So the land's no good, most of it angular and precarious, which is why no one, meaning the governments, did anything about it when the people started moving in and taking over these places. And of course, the people living in those slums are very poorly educated, with a lot of the older people illiterate, with adolescents and young adults having maybe a fourth to sixth grade education. So they're really never going to get ahead unless they get the hell out of those scummy areas. And hopefully get some education and then that'll bring some culture. A logical progression, but it just doesn't seem to happen that way. And here's a point we'll come back to in a second. They have no safety net, except an extremely awful government national healthcare system. That's about it. All right, now let's look up north to the U.S. Every medium and large-sized city, even some of the small cities, have a disgusting area called the slums or the bad side of the tracks, whatever, most all of them subsidized heavily by the U.S. social safety net. The people living there, the so-called poor urban folks of the U.S., have, without lifting a finger, a lifestyle that's economically much better than any middle-class Latin who works for a living. They've got cars and refrigerators, air conditioners, washers, dryers, cable TV, Netflix, free schooling, free healthcare, housing, transportation, and heating allowances. Some even take vacations. A sad lifestyle for sure, as viewed by working class people. But to Latin Americans, especially Central Americans who can slip through the border easily up to the United States, that's more than living the life of Riley. That's easy street. And I'll tell you, there isn't a poor Latin American living in a ghetto down here that doesn't know that lifestyle exists. And if they get there, they'll get a piece of that too. Now, a couple of decades ago, when I first came down here, before the internet, and before international telephone service was cheap and good, very few Latin Americans knew all of those perks were available up in the States. Sure, most of them had friends and family that slipped in by hook or crook, and got their piece of the so-called American dream by working hard for it. I mean, how do you think that term American dream came about, anyway? It was the stories they told, and the pictures, and the care packages they sent back home, as well as the infrequent, expensive phone calls that fueled the next round of family and friends to come on up. But still, in no way was the word out like it is today that it's a land of milk and honey up in the States. All you gotta do is show up. Then, you'll get work and you'll get all kinds of free stuff. However, when I first came down to Latin America and heard all the stories from the locals, it was all about going up to the States to get some work. No one ever talked about the safety net or the freebies. Even back then, when minimum wage was $3 or $4 an hour, doing practically any kind of no-brain grunt job, it still was 5 to 10 times the amount the average Latin American made down here. Now, me and a lot of long-term expats knew the game was up. Things were changing fast back when old Vomit was running for office. Back then, for the first time, poor but happy Latins, the masses barely getting by selling junk on the streets and such, started talking about things like free Obama phones and free Obama shoes. Whether they existed or not, it didn't matter. The rumor was out there. And in fact, 5 or 6 years ago, expat Addy and I were in a bus station in San Salvador. That's when we first saw some pamphlets strewn here and there and posted on telephone poles and such, advising people and telling them how easy it was to migrate to the U.S., saying, come one, come all. Of course, that phrase in itself is not enough to make anyone drop their whole lifestyle and sneak through the border up north. Except the pamphlets had something different written on them. Something extra. Something I'd never seen before. It said right there in Spanish, in bold black and white letters. Under certain conditions, if you got picked up and said the right thing, U.S. Immigration and Homeland Security will not turn you back. You can remain in the U.S. As long as, number one, you had a kid with you, and number two, claimed refugee status and asked for asylum. So instead of being deported, you'd be given refugee status. What no one ever predicted was how the internet would be such a game changer. Suddenly, everyone who had a dream of going to the States knew the ins and outs, the tips, the do's, the don'ts, what to say, what to bring, what to do, and the best places to slip in and out. In fact, nowadays, the coyotes have a virtual GPS law enforcement tracking system. Now, before maybe just 5 years ago, if you'd have spoken to practically any average middle class or lower middle class or poor Latin, they all would have said they would love to move to the United States. They all had a relative or a friend up there. They'd heard the stories. Not to mention, they were all just a bit jealous and envious of Uncle Julio in Nueva Jersey or Tucson. Suddenly, he's become the most important member of the extended family. The guy who hit the lottery, who's so rich he could send a couple of $100 back a month in remesas. A direct connection to the promised land. However, it's one thing talking about the good life you can have up in the States. The folks back home also know there's a lot of danger on the coyote trail. So bottom line, everyone wants to go, but they're thinking about the downside too. What if they get robbed, raped, murdered, or more likely caught and shipped back after spending all that money on coyotes? And speaking of that, you know, it's a funny thing. I've heard so many Latins down here tell me about wealthy cousin Juanito's drywall or window repair service up in Cleveland. Must have heard 50 stories like that over the years. However, I've never heard a single story of some friend or family member who had one of those bad experiences, robbery, rape, whatever. Surely it's happening, but it's something that families don't talk about or sweep under the rug. They only talk about the success stories. That's human nature, right? Now, if you've been keeping track of this illegal alien business, you know it's only been in the past 5 years or so that it's exploded out of control. Sure, it's been helped along by Latin immigrant word of mouth coming down from the States to Latin America, the rumors of the free phones and the tennis shoes and such, but up to just a couple of years ago, those were only unconfirmed rumors. And it's true, very few people, no matter how terrible their lifestyle is, are going to drop everything, leave their homes, neighborhood, life, and their family just on rumors. They need something more than that. Think of it. all the millions of Latins living in really crummy, terrible conditions in city ghettos don't even bother to pick themselves up and move 20 or 30 kilometers away out of the city, where things are nice and safe, where the fruit is virtually falling off the trees. But no. Instead, it's a family member or two hoofing it up to the States, hoping to hit that American dream jackpot. Hail the conquering hero, huh? So yes, there's violence, gangs, drug wars, and poverty, confined to those bad areas in the big cities. But people don't move. They can, but they don't. Like a bird living in a stinky, tiny cage all its life, you open the door and often they don't fly out. They prefer the crap hole that they live in to the unknown. Now, before 5 or so years ago, that was the case in the slums and crappy neighborhoods of Latin America. Until dirt cheap phones arrived and the internet took off. And now, get ready for this. Something you've never heard before and it's really going to piss you off. But here goes. Check this website out. www.uscis.gov/tools/settling-us. So what's that all about? Well, the U.S. government, for the last couple of years now, has had an official Welcome to the USA website for immigrants, illegal and otherwise, providing all the necessary information, all the perks, safety nets, and benefits immigrants can receive once they've arrived. You won't believe how complete and extensive this website is. Okay, here's a sample. Let me go through some particular items here, guaranteed to piss some of you listeners off. First of all, it says this guide is available in 14 different languages, downloadable on a PDF, and free. Now, I'm going over to the left column on this page where it says Tools and Resources. It says Education and Child Care Services for Immigrants. Then there's a link that says How to Find Public Schools Near You. Another link says Government Preschool Programs for Low-Income Children. Then it specifically talks about Head Start, saying Head Start is a federal program for preschool children and their low-income families. Then it says free and low-cost meals. And they provide another link. The U.S. Department of Agriculture provides information here about the National Lunch Program and other programs of free, nutritious meals to children. Okay, let's skip over to employment. Here it says the U.S. federal government has the resources to help you look for a job, develop a resume, and prepare for a job interview. And note there are federal laws that protect job seekers against illegal discrimination. Then it says all workers in the United States have certain rights. Federal law prohibits employers from discriminating against you because of your race, color, religion, including discriminating against women who are pregnant, their national origin or age, etc. Okay, now here's a link that says immigration-related unfair employment practices. Here, the U.S. Justice Department provides information about immigration-related job discrimination and how to respond and get free legal representation if you think you're a victim of it. All right, well, to some, that sounds sort of reasonable in a first-world advanced country, provided the country was not broke, bankrupt, overtaxed, and out of resources. Can you think of one that qualifies? I can't. All right, now to the good stuff. How about this? I'm clicking on a link called Government Benefits for Immigrants. It says here, depending on your immigration status, you may be eligible for many different federal benefit programs. In fact, it says, you can check your eligibility here for state and federal benefits. And it says, the U.S. government offers more than 1,000 federal and state benefits programs and packages that may be available to you. Did that sink in? 1,000 benefit programs. Then it says, immigrants may be eligible for Medicare, Medicaid and Children's Health Insurance Program, called CHIP, Food Assistance for Women, Infants and Children, Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, and get this, Help for Immigrant Survivors of Domestic Violence. Have you heard of that one before? Then there's links for child welfare programs, resources for at-risk youth and families, resources for immigrants with disability problems and developmental disabilities. There's a link how immigrants can get public housing from HUD, and on and on. I mean, on and on. You probably could spend 2 days going through these links and still not finish. However, here's the capper. I mean, this is what really turned the tide and has opened the floodgates for illegal Latin Americans to come to the States. There's a link on this site called Refugees and Asylum, which points out to the guy or gal sneaking in exactly what to do and say to avoid deportation. Now get this. First, there's a pop-up box that says Latest Immigration Headlines. Here's where you'll see all the news on special programs and circumstances going on right now. Here's where people can find those narrow windows of immigration opportunity that are opening and closing all the time, depending on the country. For example, it says, on August 1st, 2016, the Department of Homeland Security announced an 18-month redesignation and extension of temporary protected status for Syrians. Well, ain't that good news? Then it says, on July 8th, the news is, temporary protective status is extended for people from El Salvador. Talk about politically correct. They don't call people who sneak into the U.S. illegals. They call them special immigrants or people without nationality. Okay, looking a bit down the page, we've got the real meat in the sandwich. How about this? We've got this title sentence. It says, the U.S. provides a number of humanitarian programs and protection to assist individuals in need of shelter and aid from disasters, oppression, emergency medical issues, and other urgent circumstances such as the following. And then there's a link for each one of these conditions. Number one, refugee. It says the refugee status is a form of protection that may be granted to people who meet the definition of refugee and who are of special humanitarian concern. It says under U.S. law, a refugee is someone who is located from somewhere outside the U.S., demonstrates they were persecuted or feared persecution due to race, religion, nationality, political opinion, or membership in a particular social group. Hey, wait a minute, that sounds an awful lot like what the U.S. government is doing to its very own citizens. Are you getting this? And then there's a link called the refugee process, followed by a link that says how to come to the United States, followed by a link that says how refugees can bring their families to the U.S., and on and on. And there's even a pop-up chat window where you can chat in Spanish with someone about your particular case. It says, need help? Need advice? Ask Emma. And I mean, there are so many links on this page. How to get help for this? How to apply for that free program? Click here for the forms to download. Need help with the forms? Click here to have someone help you live online. It's all here. For example, right here, you can click to get the form I-730. It's the refugee/asylum relative form. Then there's form I-485, application to register for permanent residency as an asylum seeker. Then there's a PDF 623-KB titled How to Get a Refugee Travel Document. And another called How to Adjudicate Your Asylum Refugee Claim Form. And get this, there's a PDF called the U.S. State Department's Central American Minor Refugee/Parole Program. And believe me, I'm just touching on less than 1% of the stuff that you'll see on this government website. You really have to see this site to believe it. Yes, it's your bloated, malignant government completely out of control. So bottom line, Latins know about this stuff. And they're all thinking, once I get in, I'm set. Oh, and by the way, this website wants you to apply as a refugee so badly, they actually have a downloadable document called an Interview Request and Review Tip Sheet. Isn't that kind of like having the answers to the final exam? Oh, and I forgot to mention, there's a downloadable report on how Latin American minors can apply for asylum. Hearing that, there's no wonder so many young kids are sneaking in. Oh, and by the way, it says here, refugees will receive free medical and cash assistance. But that's not all. This thing is never ending. Listen to this. Under bringing your family to the U.S., just file the form I-730 called Refugee Asylum for Relatives Petition. Click on the link to download the form, etc., etc. Man, I could just go on and on with this. Then there's what they call Special Situation Asylum. It says some natural catastrophes and other extreme situations can occur that are beyond your control, and with these events, you could become a special situation asylum seeker. Hey, wait a minute. That definition includes just about everyone in the known universe. Oh, well, I give up. As Bob Barker would say, come on down, or come on up. Oh, and how about this? A downloadable tip sheet for foreign nationals looking for asylum who've been impacted by natural disasters or other calamities in their home country. Well, that about covers everyone in the known universe too, doesn't it? How about this link? How to qualify for temporary protective status. Oh, you ought to see this one. So there you have it, a U.S. government website welcoming, or I should say encouraging everyone to come to the USA. They tell you exactly how, give you every piece of the puzzle step by step. Go ahead, check it out for yourself. You just won't believe it. Again, that website is www.uscis.gov/tools/settling-us, otherwise known as the Welcome to the USA website. So if you're wondering why illegal immigration from Latin America has ramped up so dramatically in the last 5 years or so, it's not necessarily clear that there's more crime or poverty. Statistics show that poverty's on the decrease in Latin America. Once again, wouldn't you know it, we can lay most of the blame on those pus-brained politicians. They've made it all so much easier and have opened the floodgates. By the way, when you're ramping through those pages, notice it doesn't say anything about what the penalty is for lying on those forms and applications. That said, let's say a person from Honduras snuck into Mexico, paid a coyote $3,000 to get him into the States. Once there, he gets caught by Homeland Security. What do you think the chances are he'd tell a few lies on an asylum application in order to have the chance to stay in the States legally? Where's the smart money there? Oh, I'm sure I'm going to get some hate mail on this. They're going to say, Johnny, you're a racist, classist, whatever. But I'll bet you a Bitcoin if you go to that website and check it out, you'll change your mind. All right, we're towards the end of the show now, and I'd like to mention once again that there are other options and solutions and another plan for getting out of Dodge for people who can't afford to get boots on the ground or come down to one of my expat insider seminars. I understand most of you just can't drop everything and come down. Not yet, anyway. But all is not lost. Not by a long shot. You've still got options. You can still move forward with that plan B. Yep, you can get started now right from Milwaukee, Dallas, or Cleveland. Just go to www.expatplanb.com. That's where you'll be able to check out my new Expat Essentials audio-video course done by me, yours truly. That's www.expatplanb.com. If you go there now, you can get 3 free videos to see exactly what it's all about. By the way, about my next Expat Insider Seminar in January 2017, I've still got a few spots open. Just go to www.thenewexpat.com, click on Johnny's 2017 seminar link at the top of the page, and you're there. Yep, you can still get in on the early bird discounts. And finally, don't forget to check out my YouTube channel. That's YouTube/TheExpatFiles, all one word. Do subscribe. It's free.
South of the border.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want me to help you sort out your own Latin American plans, schedule a one-on-one consult with me, just send an email and let me know at theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.